In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can everybody hear me in all this? It's a little difficult. If you were here earlier for Orthros, I saw mouths moving, but I didn't hear much. But that's what it is when you've got the type of roof that we've got. In today's gospel, we have a continuation of some of the things that were started really last week. Chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew are just chock full of miracles, all kinds of miracles. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, as in last week. The demon-possessed, as in a few chapters ago and today. Just many, many things that our Lord did when He was here on earth. And both Matthew and Mark go to great lengths to record all of these things as preparation for who the Lord is, even though a lot of people at that time don't recognize Him for who He is. I think it's chapter 61 of Isaiah when the prophecy is made that someone is going to come to release the captives and to give sight to the blind. And that's what we have here today, that there are two blind men that are coming and see the Lord, and we don't know if they know who He is or not. We can only assume that they've heard something because they utter a few words that's a little bit different than what we hear in previous parts of Scripture. They say, "Have mercy on us, thou son of David." Not, "O Lord," not "Master," anything like this that we hear so much through the Gospels, but "O son of David," because they knew that He was from the tribe of David. They knew that He was someone who was in the line, because they had obviously heard that. But whether or not they recognized Him as God, we can't be sure. Is that why they said, "O son of David"? We don't know. Some of the saints disagree about this. Some say the mere fact that they said, "Have mercy on me," or "Have mercy on us," means that they recognized that He was God, because only God could have mercy. But then when they come back with, "Thou son of David," it puts a little confusion into it. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter, because the Lord basically ignores them. He doesn't respond. In fact, He had just come from, first of all, the healing of the daughter of one of the rulers, in which, as you remember, on His way to that person's house, the woman with an issue of blood grabbed the hem of His garment. These things happened immediately before. And now He was returning back to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum, as you well know, is one of the three cities that we most associate with the Lord. Of course, there's Bethlehem, the place of His birth. There's Nazareth, the place where He grew up. And then Capernaum, where He spent much of His time. It was almost like His headquarters, if you could call it that. But He did a lot of preaching in Capernaum and a lot of miracle working, and He had just come back. And so He went into the house, and these men followed Him in, which we might think a little strange. But of course, these were the days when you didn't have a camera attached to your doorbell that was going to alert you as who was coming to the door. During the day, the doors were open. And so in they walked. But He didn't seem to mind this at all. And He asked them what they want. They said they want to be healed of their blindness. And He says, "By the power of your faith, by the degree of your faith, let it be so." And they were healed immediately. And we talked about this a little bit last week with the paralytic, and that sometimes the Lord seems to require faith. Other times He simply just does it for no reason at all. We never can be really sure. But today it was done because of the degree of their faith, because He says that directly. And I think there's something interesting about this, because many times, if we put ourselves in the place of these blind men, many times we go not with faith, but with almost hope against hope that God somehow will do something for us. We're not sure of it. We go perhaps in prayer because we know we should pray these things, but we go just hoping that the Lord will somehow grant our request, not necessarily thinking that He's going to do it. In other words, we've approached it in just the opposite way of these blind men. We go and we say to the Lord, "Well, You go first. In other words, we're going to have faith. There's faith in us, and we're going to demonstrate that faith, but we're going to demonstrate it after you grant our request. Because then we'll know that you've come to us, you've done something, and therefore, oh, okay, now that you've done what I wanted you to do, I've got faith. And that's a great thing, right? Well, I guess it's better than nothing. But it's completely opposite of what these men today did. They had faith first. They went to the Lord first and asked him and said, please, will you heal us? Will you grant us our sight back? And the Lord did so. Now the Lord does this actually in the entire four Gospels, six times. He grants sight to the blind in one way or the other. Sometimes those who had eyes were given sight. Sometimes those that had no eyes had eyes created for them on the spot as the Lord took spittle and then breathed on it, just like he did when he was creating Adam and was recreating part of the human body that was not there for some reason. So six times this happens in the Gospels. But St. Gregory Palamas points out something different. He says that because in other places we hear about the Lord going to different places and doing different things, that he cured all manifold illnesses and healed all kinds of diseases, and that he cast out demons, and it doesn't put any kind of numeral on this. He simply said that he did it. Everywhere that he went, there were so many people that were following him that St. Gregory says, in my opinion, I doubt seriously that there was anyone in Judea or Palestine at the time that had come within the proximity to the Lord that was not healed, that had not received their sight back, that the grace of God was so great that everywhere this wonderful divine energy of the Lord was healing and curing everybody that was around, and that there were so many that the apostles simply couldn't mention all of the incidences, but only the ones that struck them as being maybe particular to the particular environment or to the peculiarity of what was happening. And those the apostles put down, but that everyone was being cured. Everyone was being healed. Why is that not so today? Certainly the illnesses are no different. Certainly we still have blind people around. We certainly have demon-possessed around. You can see some of the videos out on YouTube of what's happening in the Middle East these days. Demonic possession always seems to come at a time when people are not otherwise demonically possessed. What do I mean by that? Well, because in the old days, when there weren't distractions, when there weren't things to keep us from the Lord, demons did the work in a very obvious manner, in a very visible manner, in a very graphic manner. And so we see many times in the Gospels when the Lord is healing the demon-possessed. But today, it's much more subtle. It's much more subtle. It's not like the demoniac that we hear in the Gospel today. No, it comes through videos and internet and all sorts of entertainments. Anything that keeps us from praying, from coming to God, is the activity of the devil. This is how many are possessed today. Why do you think that those who, for instance, are completely addicted to some of the maladies we have today, whether it's drugs or sex or video games or whatever it is, why do we not consider them possessed? Any sort of addiction has that quality to it. It's something that we have to look out for, but it's so subtle because we're sitting in front of a screen, or visiting a prostitute somewhere, or out in an alley somewhere, or even in an office in the bathroom doing drugs during the day. And there's many like that. Don't fool yourselves. This is the demonic possession that we encounter today, because the devil doesn't need to be overt. He doesn't need to be obvious. He doesn't need to do something that is going to be seen by everybody, because he'd rather it not be seen, because he's got these people caged in their own little universe, not having any clue as to what's going on. Because these things do distract us. Now, I'm not saying that every single person that is playing a video game is demon-possessed. No. But there are many who don't do anything but. And we have to keep an eye on them because it's keeping them from God. There are so many things that distract us these days. Back then, in the days of Jesus, we didn't have this, did we? We didn't really have books. We had scrolls. We had to struggle every single day just to keep alive. Life was very simple then in terms of what it took to be a human being. You knew what your basic needs were. You knew what you had to do, or you simply weren't going to survive. Today, for most of us, survival is as quick as a drive to Publix, isn't it? There's nothing to it. I mean, there's food everywhere. Our mechanization has created more food than we can possibly consume. There's all sorts of things that aid our physical comfort these days. We live longer than ever. We take medications. We eat the right things. We live into the 80s. This was unheard of back in the days of Jesus Christ when he was on earth. You simply didn't have that. But today it's much more sinister in many ways because today most of what we spend our time on is looking for distraction, looking for entertainment. Because all these other things we don't do. We have more free time than ever. We can do whatever it is we want to do. We take time every single day for ourselves. We enjoy ourselves. We watch things. We take vacations every year. There's nothing wrong with that because people these days have jobs that are also very stressful. They may not be for survival, but they cause other stresses. But yet the devil doesn't need to come to us and do something drastic like possessing us or throwing us out a window or something like that. He doesn't need to. He gets us in other ways. He gets us mentally. And when the mental powers start to go dark, the coldness of the heart follows right after it. And that's what we have to be careful of. The Lord today was accused of casting out Satan by the power of Satan. But St. Gregory says, and he says it quite directly, this is a stupid comment that these people were saying. Because the devil does not cast out devils by the power of the devil. It's ridiculous. Only God can cast out these devils. And that's what Christ did today. And that's why Christ was being followed by so many people. That's why he's not perhaps being followed by as many people today as he should be. Because we're not even aware of what's happening to us. That's the problem. That is probably the main issue that we have today as Orthodox Christians. Because we are as distracted as anyone else is. It's so simple to watch a TV program instead of reading the scriptures. It's so simple to go do something else you wanted to do instead of praying. It's such an easy thing to do. And this is not of God because the Lord has told us that the Christian life will be a struggle. And if there's no struggle in your life at all, you're probably not living the Christian life. It's that simple. We spend our lives praying for ease, for comfort. I mean, when we talk about somebody who had a good life, what are we thinking about? Somebody who lived to an old age, someone who was never sick, someone who had all the money they ever wanted, someone who accomplished all the things they wanted to do. This to us is the good life, is it not? Isn't that what we all secretly hope for? But the Lord says, no. You have to follow me, he says. You have to follow the way of the cross. And if there's no crosses in your life, you better go out and start looking for some. You better go out and start trying to help other people who are burned with so many things. You better start trying to struggle to rid yourself of that horrible incrustation that covers us all so that we can't even realize one of our sins. Many of us go through life thinking, well, I'm a good person, right? What sin could I possibly have? But it's there. It's there. And you simply have to dig deep to find it. The devil doesn't need to have you rolling in this aisle here, foaming at the mouth. He doesn't need that. He's got so many other tricks up his sleeve. And as Orthodox, we have to be aware of this. We have to watch out for it. We have to know what it is to be a Christian. We have to know what it is to struggle, to acquire the Holy Spirit, to become godlike, to become little Christ, so that we ourselves could go to one of these demoniacs and cast out the devil ourselves. Because the Lord said that we should be able to do that. Now, I don't want to be a downer in all of this, because sometimes it sounds like that. Because when we hear scriptures like we hear today and sermons like you're hearing right now, you think, where's all the joy in this? Well, there is joy in it, because there's joy in repentance. There's joy in knowing that the Lord's not giving up on any one of us. There's joy in knowing that He wants to take all of us into heaven with Him. There's joy in letting us know that this particular joy that He gives us is not brought on by the things that we accomplish or do in the world. It's by the knowledge of His presence within us. And that's what we have to seek after. That's what we have to cast aside, all the other things that are getting in our way, and concentrate on the Lord that brings us the humility, the graciousness, the goodwill, and yes, the joy that only comes from Him. Because only coming from Him, that is what we are going to carry with us into the other world. This is what we must keep in mind, my brothers and sisters. It is an unseen warfare, and I will never tire of reminding everyone of this, because it's so easy to forget it. Concentrate on the things that Jesus Christ tells us to concentrate on. Pray. Fast. We're in a fast now. Why do we fast? Has anyone ever realized that the mere fact that we eat food is a reminder of our mortality? Fasting shows us that we could go beyond that. That we can go beyond this mortal coil that we have and go into the heavenly kingdom. So fast and fast joyously. Pray and pray joyously. Help others as best as you can. Ask the Lord to come to you, to make His dwelling inside you, to never abandon you, and to show you the things that are getting in the way of a relationship with Him. This is what we need to do. This is what He asks us to do. And by the prayers of the Holy Mother of God, of all the saints, and even the holy seven sleepers of Ephesus that we commemorate today, may His Spirit always reside with us, and may we always be able to see that light on the hill that the Lord is showing us and that He beckons us to. Amen.